Good morning.
Well, I'll go ahead and first start off with this. The devil did his best to make sure that I was not here this week. last Sunday evening, had to deal with some drama, and then talked to Pastor Chaz on Monday, and he encouraged me. And then it seemed like anything could go wrong. Little stuff went wrong this week. And then Friday night, I went to get in my truck, started it up, and it quit. And the computer box in it caught on fire. So that, but thankfully, a friend diagnosed it, and it's going to be fixed Tuesday, I think. So fortunate to have my mom and dad's van to borrow. But I almost called Pastor Chaz 3 times this week and said, I don't think I can do this. So we showed the devil, though. So, but thank you for your prayers and support. I really appreciate it. Had a lot of people I know was praying and reached out, and I have people from different states that were reaching out that I know, and that meant a lot, so I really appreciate it. And so we're going to be talking about waiting today, and I'm pretty sure there's no need to ask this question, and I'm going to try to look up. I know the last time Pastor Chaz said I think I looked up once, so I'm going to try to look up more. I don't think any hands are going to raise when I ask this question, but how many people here like to wait? Didn't think so. Even the most patient souls have a hard time waiting. Yeah. Most of us want everything at the snap. That's the society we live in now. We want what we want, and we want it now. But even though most of us hate to wait, we don't really mind waiting on something we want to do. You know, we'll wait in line for concerts or movies or sporting events, or we'll ride in cars or planes for hours to get somewhere fun or somewhere we want to go. But, you know, if we're in Walmart and it's a 5-minute wait in line, we don't handle that well, or I don't. And the waiting on the phone, that's always the one that's got me. I hate waiting on hold. It tests you sometimes when you're having to talk to certain people on the phone when they just know they can't, they're not helping you even though you know they could, and you have to remember that even though they can't see you, they can hear Jesus through you, so you don't want to kill your witness there. But you know, some of us, you know, the waiting can get to us. And, you know, I had to do a lot of waiting in 2021. I was fortunate. The Lord blessed me from 1994 to 2021. I didn't have to go to the emergency room. And then 21, I had to go twice. And the first one, it was 10 minutes. And the next one, it was 10 hours. So the wait. So those waiting rooms can be difficult. The DMV waiting room can be fun. Hospital waiting rooms, you name it, any waiting room is can be aggravating, especially if you have a fear of doctors or anything like that. But of all the waiting rooms I've ever been in, the one that has bothered me the most, the one that I've had the most trouble with, was God's waiting room. And all of us, whether we admit it or not or realize it or not, have spent some time there. A lot of us are probably in there now, waiting on something. And what God's waiting room is when we're waiting for something to happen and God isn't ready for it to happen for whatever reason, whether it's not part of his will, whether it's not his time, or whether we are just so far removed from what his plan is and we're waiting for something that's never going to come. But, you know, that's the worst waiting room, the most painful waiting room I've been in. It's got the worst chairs. The TV doesn't work. If there's a radio, it plays the same song over and over again. But, you know, it just seems like it drags. The time drags there. And it can be difficult. You know, most people who have been there wonder how they ended up there, you know, and, you know, did I do something wrong? Did I go in the wrong door? Did I go in the wrong building? But, you know, we're usually there for a reason, and, you know, we all get in a hurry at some point, especially when we're young. We can't wait to drive, to graduate, to grow up, to get a job, to move, have kids, retire, and the way some people drive on this road, some people can't wait to die. But oftentimes we forget God's time is the right time. And it's the perfect time. We're going to look up a few verses. Turn to Psalm 27:14, if you would. And we're going to be in Psalm for a little bit here. But Psalm 27:14. It's always good to go over the notes. I was going over them again last night, and I wrote down references in the Bible that don't exist. So, but this one does, thankfully. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we'll turn over to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verses 20 through 22. Wait, that's not it. Psalm 37, 34, that's the one. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And I did miss, wrote it wrong again. Psalms 33, verses 20 through 22. Backtrack a little bit. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. And there's one more in Psalm. We're going to go over to chapter 130. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Chapter 130. Verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they watch for the morning. And one more, we're going to turn to Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. And the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So as you can see, this says a lot to wait on the Lord. While you're waiting in God's waiting room, you'll probably go through some difficult times. You'll probably spend time in the valley. I think we all have at some point. Sometimes we end up in the valley and it just doesn't make sense. We go through things that we don't understand, but, you know, we question God. And even pastors that I know have told me, yeah, we question God too. We don't understand how this happens. And I ask that a lot of times with when I see how, like, I know one pastor who, good godly man, great preacher and everything, but it just didn't work out for different churches and stuff, and it always baffled my mind because I'm like, you know, that's the kind of man that you would want leading your church. And so, you know, but sometimes God wants us to wait for some reason to put us in the right position. But understand why you're in God's waiting room, that you might be on a rescue mission. You might be there to save someone. You might have a chance to help someone. There was a dear lady, she came to this church for a few years, and she started coming not too long after I started coming here. And we actually met at Bible school. She was helping in the kitchen. And this lady loved God. She loved Jesus. She loved people. She loved kids. And not too long after we met, she started having some health issues. And it just deteriorated, and just she didn't get better. And we, no matter how hard we prayed, it just didn't work. And this dear lady, I'll never forget, she got to the point where she wasn't able to come every Sunday, and she'd missed a couple months, and this was probably 2012, I think it was. I put something on Facebook that I was having a hard time forgiving someone. And this woman remembered that post from 2 months, and she came in and sat down next to me and told me that she was praying for me and that she understood what I was going through. And it really encouraged me, and she told me some stuff, and it really changed my whole outlook. And now this is a woman who had every reason not to help anyone in today's world. You know, when we're feeling great, we don't help anyone sometimes. So that always stuck with me, and it's been over 10 years. And her health got worse. She wasn't able to she wasn't able to feed herself, wasn't able to walk. She shook real bad, but she still had to go out some, and her husband took her to the Dairy Queen. And she was in bad shape, but she was able to go. And the teenage girl that brought her food out to her asked her if there was anything else she could get for her. And the woman said, "Do you know Jesus?" And the girl said, "No, ma'am, I don't." Now this woman couldn't feed herself, couldn't walk. And she said, "So do you, if you were to die today, you know you wouldn't go to heaven." And the girl sat down right next to her in the Dairy Queen booth, and this lady, who had every reason to not be happy, to every reason not to rejoice, led that young lady to Christ. And before she died, like I think it was the day before, one of her nurses was having some trouble with her grandson, and she told the woman to highlight some verses in her Bible and gave the woman her Bible to take to her son. And then she passed away, I think it was the next day. And so even though when we're going through difficult times, even though we're in that room, it doesn't make sense, when it's not fair, and when we're broken and we're beaten down, God can still use us. And it's amazing because, like I said, you know, it's easy when you're depressed. And as someone who's battled depression for 13 years, it's easy to get down and just feel like, you know, everything you do doesn't matter. But don't underestimate your witness. Don't underestimate why you're here. And God will take you when he's ready. And while you're here, no matter how the situation, don't give up. Just keep serving him. And she eventually did get the ultimate healing. God can use any situation, no matter how broken we are, no matter how defeated we are. God can still use us. Like I said, if he can use someone like me, he can use anybody. It's easy to get upset when we're in that waiting room. Most of us have asked God, "Where are you?" I know I have. I'll be real with y'all. I have done that this year. Might have done it this week. God, I'm having, like, you don't want me to preach. If that's what you want, then you need to tell me because it's looking like that. But then I'm here, and it's obviously, it was the devil that was trying to keep me from doing it. But that devil will fill your head with lies. He'll whisper in your ear, and he will fill up your head with doubts and fears and everything. But don't be afraid. And I almost didn't put this in there, but I thought, I don't think y'all judge me too much. But don't be afraid to turn around and kick the devil in the teeth. Remind him of his future. When he puts it in your head about your past or your present situation, just remind him of his future because, spoiler alert, I know how this story ends, and so do you, he loses. So there's nothing he can do to you. He can't touch your soul. Yes, he can touch your body. Yes, he can touch your family. Yes, he can touch your friends. But he cannot touch your soul. You are safe in the palm of the hand that took your nails on the cross. But I know that it's hard when he does get in your head, with those fears and doubts. He's gotten into the head of far better men than me and women than me, so he can get into any of our heads. He can cause us to force things. And that's when we get in a lot of trouble, because we force jobs, we force moves, we force relationships, we force all kinds of things, and then if it's not part of his will, we look back and be like, I know I've done that. Oftentimes we tell ourselves that God doesn't understand. God doesn't know what it's like to be my age and to be in the situation I'm in. God doesn't understand what it's like to not be as far along as I thought I would be. That's what we tell ourselves. A lot of times we believe things are far worse than they are. Or I do anyway. The Bible is full of people who had to wait. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was promised by God and heir by Sarah. This period of waiting took 25 years, and during that time, they got in a hurry. So what did they do? They decided to have Abraham have a child with another woman. Even though they messed up, even though they got in a hurry, even though they went against God's will, God still had a promise for them, and he still used them. We all mess up. That doesn't mean that God's done with us. Abraham was 100, and Sarah was 90 when they had their child. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. For when God made promises to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He had to wait, but he got what God promised him. Look at Joseph. We think we have family problems sometimes. God showed him great things in his dreams that he was going to do, that he was going to, how God was going to use him, but he had a painful wait. He was hated by his brothers. They sold him as a slave. He was lied about. He was put in prison, but he trusted God's plan, and God eventually put him in charge of a great many things. And turn to Genesis chapter 50. One of my favorite verses, especially today's age, when having to deal with people. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20.
But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass at as it is this day, to save much people alive. The world will do evil things to you. The people you love will break your heart and rip your soul out at times. But don't forget that God's with you. Like I said, there are many people in the Bible. Look at Noah. Imagine that. You never see rain, and God's going to tell you there's a flood coming. You would wait. That wait had to be a little bit confusing. Look at Daniel. Now, that was a night wait, only through the night, but imagine being around. You know, even though you knew you were safe with God, you had to be a little nervous around those lines. Look at David. I mean, look at all the waiting he had to go through. He knew at a young age that God had a purpose for him, but Saul tried to kill him and everything, and it's just, but he waited. Even though he messed up, God still used him and used his bloodline. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That wait wasn't as long, but that had to be scary. Even Jesus had to wait. He was 30 before he started his ministry. And he turned the world around in 3.5 years. Don't underestimate your age. Don't underestimate you could be too young if you're too young or too old, or I can't do this or I can't do that. I had a Sunday school teacher. His name was Mr. Henderson. He was almost 70 years old when he started teaching me. And I was his first student. We had a great relationship. He was like a grandfather to me. And he never taught Sunday school, never taught anything before that. And God used him for about 5 years, and at 70 years old. So don't underestimate. And don't underestimate, like, your time, because you might think, well, it's only 1 week at Bible school, or maybe I can only volunteer one day at Bible school, or whatever. But we had a child here one time at Bible school that his mom said they lived 5 minutes from here. He was like 10 years old, and he picked up the Bible in the pew and asked what a Bible was. So don't underestimate how the people around you may not know, and underestimate the impact you can have. I remember Sunday school teachers that filled in for a couple weeks. There was a police officer that filled in a teenage class that I was in. Never taught Sunday school before in his life, but I still remember him, and that was like 17 years ago. So don't underestimate the impact you can have. Your witness can be very powerful, and you might be the only Jesus some folks ever see. One of the most saddest things to deal with during the time in God's waiting room is you might find out your dreams don't align with God's plan. Been there. Just because you want something and pray for it doesn't mean it will happen. God will always answer your prayers. It just might not be yes. It might be yes. It might be no. It might be maybe. I mean, not now. But he always answers them. Sometimes we have to wait because God wants us to work on ourselves. He knows when we're ready. He knows when it's the right time. So often we treat God like a vending machine. You know, God, here's my dollar, here's my prayer, shoot out my prayer request. It doesn't work that way. A delay doesn't always mean a denial. When I was 14, when I was 6, I thought I got saved. But as I got older, I didn't remember it. I didn't remember praying the prayer. And I was at a revival one night, and one of the pastors that did the prayer there at the end said, if you have any doubts, don't doubt anymore. Pray the prayer. And later that night, I prayed the prayer and never doubted again. And I asked Jesus into my heart and prayed the sinner's prayer. And shortly after that, I believed God called me in ministry. And I was pretty much put down by different people. Ah, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. Oh, you're not talented enough. You can't do it. You know, you don't want that headache. I remember one friend saying, like, you can't get in. Like, there's no money in that. And I'm like, you know, the things people say. And as I got older, I thought, that dream, that what I thought God wanted me to do was never going to happen. And then Pastor Moore asked me to preach at Youth Sunday in 2016, and I got sick and couldn't do it. And I was like, maybe God doesn't want this. And then the next year, he asked me to do it again, and I got to do it. And everyone said it went well. I don't remember it. I blacked out. Then the next year I was supposed to do it. My mom ended up in the Alexandria Hospital for about 2 weeks. And I just wasn't mentally able to do that. And then it never happened again. And I was supposed to take the church I went to after I left here. I was supposed to take on a men's Sunday school class for about a month. And they had like 40 men in that class. That was going to be big, and I was really nervous because most of the time I just talk kids, and I'd rather deal with kids because when kids say something that's judgmental towards you, you can overlook it. But when adults do it, you kind of have to bite your tongue a little more. I prayed, God, I'm like, God, if you want me to teach a Sunday school class, you know, make it, let it happen, let me figure it out. And if you don't, give me a sign. And the next week, the church closed for COVID, and I never went back. Then, you know, I never thought that God was going to use me again. And I told a friend of mine, middle of March, I said, God's done with me. You know, I don't have a purpose, I don't think anymore. And he said, well, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, I want you to pray too. 2 days later, or maybe it was the next week, Pastor Chaz asked me to speak at the Pregnancy Center event. And I was like, I guess I can't say no because I've been praying for a sign. So, and then I never thought I'd be preaching twice in 3 months. So a delay doesn't always mean a denial. And I have no idea what God has planned for me. But I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds it. And whatever it is, I'm just thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for Pastor Chaz. And thankful for Pastor Mort. And everyone that's had an influence on me throughout the years. Now, even though, the devil tried to stop me, we always have to remember that God is more powerful than him. And we forget it oftentimes about the behind me, Satan. But sometimes God doesn't give us what we want because he's protecting us. Okay, this, when Pastor Chaz asked me a couple weeks ago to preach, a friend of mine had did a podcast I was listening to. And she was talking about Abraham and Sarah, and then that led to me talking about waiting. And I remember this story. Now, I want to say this first. I don't want to offend anyone with the story. And you'll understand when we get to the end. But God, I prayed about it, and I just felt like it was important to the message. So just know I'm not trying to be insensitive or anything. Years ago, there was this man who his dream in life, his goal in life was to make a better life for his family and get them to America. Well, he was a hardworking man. He was a farmer. He was a good Christian man, a good son, a good brother, a good friend, father, you name it. And he loved the Lord. Well, one year it looked like they were going to get to come to America. There was a fire. Wiped out all their crops. Another year, it was a flood. Another year, there was a drought. Just one thing after another. And during this time, his family grew. But finally, they were getting ready to go. They finally saved up enough money. They got the tickets and the passports for him, his wife, and their 9 kids to come to America. Well, 3 days before, the baby caught the fever. They had to hang a sheet on the door, and they had to quarantine. Yet again, the dream to get to the promised land wasn't going to happen. Well, the man had handled it pretty well before. This time it devastated him. And it would devastate most of us. Well, he went out the day that him and his family were supposed to get on this ship, and he watched from a distance, away from everybody, so he didn't, spread any of the fever thing. And finally, he just broke down. He hit his knees, and he cried to God. He said, God, I don't understand. God, I've been a good husband, a good father, a good friend, a good neighbor. I've done everything you want me to do. All I want to do is get to America and make a better life for my family. God, where are you? Did you forget about me? And he's on his knees, weeping. And he watches as all these people get on this ship that he was supposed to be on. He watched the ship take off. He watched these people take off. He watched his hopes and dreams take off. He watched the mighty Titanic take off. We ask God to protect our families. There's a sign right there that he did. The man eventually got to America. Now, that was what I was talking about with the current events thing. I didn't, wasn't sure about bringing that up, but I felt like that man's story tied into this about waiting. So I hope it didn't offend anyone. You know, that flat tire you have might have kept you from getting hit at a stop sign or a red light. I had this in my notes before, now I'm really wondering. I was going to come out here yesterday afternoon and do a practice run, look up at the crowd,
Well, I did it, and that's why I was having to work on my truck. So God delayed me. Was there a reason? I may not know until I get to heaven. But just know that, and you know, what if your car didn't start tomorrow because there's going to be a little kid that's going to run out on the road, and God was protecting that little kid by keeping you at home? You just never know. When we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked by how many things that got answered that we didn't see. Legendary Georgetown basketball coach John Thompson was supposed to fly to New York to be on a sports show. Well, his secretary ended up messing up the tickets, and he was mad. If you ever listened to Coach, he used to have a radio show. He had a temper, he cussed this woman up one side and down the other, and he was livid, and he woke up the next morning livid because he was mad that he wasn't going to be on that show. And he watched the plane that he was supposed to be on hit the World Trade Center. He said, as long as he had the radio show, he called that lady every single year on 9/11 and thanked her for messing up the tickets. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Start to wrap up. Is it noon yet? No. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, last verse in that chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's not easy waiting. But as we look back at our lives, how many times did waiting maybe protect us from something? Or by us not waiting and hurrying something along, did it hurt us? Look, there's going to be some things we're just never going to get the answers to while we're here. Now, maybe we're fortunate. Maybe God blesses us with answers. There was, I'll never forget this one story. There was this young lady. Her name was Chloe. Chloe was a miracle baby. Her parents were told that they couldn't have children. They tried for years and finally decided to that they were going to look into adoption. And they started looking into that, and Chloe's mom got real sick. They went to the doctor and found out she was pregnant. So God blessed them with her parents with this miracle baby. This woman, this family loved the Lord. Chloe loved the Lord. When Chloe was 16, she started a teen Bible study on Friday nights. The main reason she did it was to try to keep kids from being out in the streets and being somewhere on Friday night to keep them out of trouble. It started out with four kids. It got up to over 50. Her dream was to drive. Shortly after she turned 17, she got her driver's license. And then a couple months later, she was coming home from Bible study, and a drunk driver hit her and killed her. The drunk driver walked away with a broken arm. Her family was devastated. It didn't make sense. God, how could you take this girl who loves you, who is on fire for you, who's helping others? It didn't make any sense. Well, 10 years later, her family was at the church they were going to had become, there's no other way to say it, liberal. And so they decided to look for another church. And they walked into this church, and right away they recognized these two girls. They were two of Chloe's best friends from high school. But they'd never been to church before with Chloe. Chloe had tried to get them to go for years. But they didn't have time. Didn't have time for Jesus. Didn't have time to go for church. There were better things to do. So after church, Chloe's parents walked up to the girls, and they were talking. And the girls said, Chloe tried to get us to go to church all the time, and we just didn't go. But when we were at her funeral, the way the pastor talked about her, the way the pastor talked about the influence she had, and then when the pastor explained salvation, we both got saved that day at Chloe's funeral. And then we started going to this church. And then we met these two guys at the church. And then we got married. And we had kids. All that from a tragedy. All that from something that didn't make sense. God can use any situation. And the parents found out that there was a reason. Like I said, we may not find out the reason until we get to heaven someday. And it's hard. It's not easy to wait. But you got to keep the faith. You got to keep moving forward. And don't, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to be like, well, we're not growing like we should. We're not where we should be. But you know what? I think this church is doing a great job because we filled 49 shoeboxes the last 2 years, and there's churches that didn't fill any. See, we're not waiting, just waiting around for people to show up. We're still on fire and doing things. People show up at the business meetings, the people that show up every Sunday. Y'all could have easily not come today. I wouldn't have blamed you. But you showed up, and the support meant a lot. Don't underestimate your influence. Don't underestimate your testimony. And while you're in that waiting room, you might make a friend. You might save a life. You might lead a soul to Jesus. But always remember, like I said, that you might be the only Jesus some folks ever see. And we'll close with the verse that we started out with in Psalms 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and you shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's got you. He's always had you. And no matter what the devil says, no matter what anybody says, no matter what your family, your friends, your coworkers, no matter what anyone says, maybe even your church members, friends that discourage, can be discouraging at times. God's got you. Just wait on him. Dear Lord, I just pray that I pray that whatever you wanted to come out of me came out of me today. I pray I didn't mess up too much. I pray that if there be one here today that doesn't know you, they'll come to know you before it's too late. And I pray if there be one here that's having a hard time waiting, hard time with something, that they'll remember that they can turn to you. And Lord, I pray that no one will be ashamed to ever come up and pray with Pastor Chaz or pray by themselves, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs prayer, I just pray that they would let it be known, especially if they're having a hard time waiting. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here today. Please keep them all safe as they travel home. In Jesus' name, amen.